It's 6 p.m. on Monday, January 23rd, 2017. We'll call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with the roll call. Kornowski, here. Retzloff?
Here.
Rob?
Here.
Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Okay, perfect. Moving on to item number two, modify or adopt the existing agenda. Are there any modifications anyone wants to make? I believe the crowd here tonight's on item number six, which is probably the first item of discussion, so I don't think we have to move anything around to make sure that everybody can talk and then get out of here early enough. So,
okay, move to adopt.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carried. Kendra Hansen just joined us, for the record. Moving on to item number three, minutes from November 28th, 2016, our last meeting. If there are any changes or updates to those minutes, please let us know so we can make those updates. And if not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Move to adopt.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, minutes are good. Item number four, any announcements from Trevor or anybody on the Plan Commission? Nothing? Okay, perfect. Item number five is public appearances. And as I stated before, I believe that the crowd here tonight is here to discuss the rezoning. And what we can do is, typically what we'll do is we move past item number five and let you speak during the item, but since the item's next anyway, certainly invite you to come up and, you know, say anything you want to say about the next item on the agenda, any comments or anything, or if there are any other public appearances. Please just state your name and address before you talk for the record.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was the former co-chair of the Bike Ped Committee that produced the comprehensive report that you're going to be talking about later today. But I'm concerned about the village circumventing the zoning code and circumventing this committee through the use of the planned development districts and not including sidewalks for disabled walkers, disabled pedestrians who want to get to the Fox River Trail. Specifically, I've been told that there's no plans. Specifically, I've been told that the Village Public Works Department has removed the Arboretum Trail from the comprehensive plan and is instead going to put in a sidewalk at some point. The sidewalk on West St. Joseph Street is not planned at any time in the next 4 years. That's what I was sent an email by village staff. So I'm very concerned that there was no sidewalk put in the planned development district. I believe that's required by state law. And whoever neglected to put a pedestrian accommodation in there should be talking to in a stern way. So I would like to see a sidewalk put in there. I would like to see it referred back to the board to get a sidewalk put in as soon as the apartments that are completed are done. They'll be done this year. And people would like the connection to the Fox River Trail. Also, the state plans for connecting to the Fox River Trail for Riverside Drive do not actually connect to the Fox River Trail. They told me that it is not their intention to facilitate access to the Fox River Trail, and I believe that that's incorrect. The Fox River Trail is a transportation corridor. It was neglected. It was overlooked for the plowing when the funding was put in place. But the sidewalks and the trails should be connected from West St. Joseph Street to the Fox River Trail and also on Taft Street, going by the new trail they have by the retention pond. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else from the audience? Again, just please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah. Karen Thomas, 133 East Alloway Avenue.
When we got the letter about tonight, it said it was going to be a meeting, an informational meeting. So is anyone here going to give us any information about the rezoning, what it means to move from residential?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
If that's what everybody wants to go first, then we can.
Well, I think we'd like to hear that first before
sure.
we give our comments.
That's sure. That's fine.
So can I listen and then come out and comment again?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. We can move on from item number five then to item number six. Action regarding rezoning parcel number AL-275-1, located at 2202 Woodrow Way, legally described as Ansorgi and Straubel plat of garden lots 12 EXWLY 80-foot BLK Block 2 from BA Residential to Highway Business Use. So I guess that being said, Trevor, if you could give a quick introduction of the kind of what this all means for the crowd, and then we can open it up to public comment.
So the property owner that owns the BP station on Webster Avenue has purchased this property with the intention to raise the house or demolish the house and add additional parking on the property. Raising the house is allowed without the rezoning. However, for the additional parking, he doesn't need to rezone it. It is zoned A residential, or B residential, I'm sorry, which allows for a duplex or a single family home. And rezoning it to highway business use would allow for the parking lot down the road. There would be required screening from the parking lot to the residential area. There would be required some lighting standards that the property owner would have to follow as well. Right now, they're asking for access off of Woodrow Way, and then they're connected to the parking lot. So the Planning Commission is charged with interpreting the comprehensive plan and recommending zoning to the village board based off the comprehensive plan. The recommendation will then go to the vote for whether it's to approve the rezoning or to deny it. And then from there, the board will actually make the final decision. And that will be at a later date. And the developer's representative is also here if any questions.
Okay. With that being said, I guess at this point now, since you've heard kind of the description of what's being planned, we can. I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules to allow the public to speak.
Trevor, do you have images that you can put up for the
sure.
public to see?
I have another question. Would it be appropriate for us to ask the representative to comment on this proposal and its intended use? I mean, all we know is there's a business and there's a parking lot, but we don't know what the business is. Or why there'll be the need for these extra parking spaces. Okay. And I think to facilitate a dialogue beyond this point, it would be good to know how the parking lot's going to be used and why.
Yeah, it's fine with me if the representative from the sure. developer would like to come up and say a few words or shed some light.
Sure.
Just name and address again.
David O'Brien, 3323 Bay Ridge Court. The reason for the additional parking is he has a vacant space in the back of his existing building right now that no restaurant wants to lease because of the lack of parking. And the drive-thru is, that's being proposed is just a caveat. And if you can get somebody else with a drive-thru restaurant to lease the space from him. Right now, he's been trying to lease in all restaurants of the such, deem that there's not enough parking for them to physically cash flow the business. But I think Al's been trying to lease that for how long has it been up on? We didn't build it, so I want to say a year and a half, 2 years, maybe longer. Mm-hmm.
Does the amount of existing parking comply with the zoning code?
It does. I believe they utilize some space there to the south.
Okay.
As well.
So the need for additional parking is purely based on market forces?
I believe so. This went through site plan review back in 2012 when
right.
they added all this on. And from what I saw in the minutes, they met the zoning requirements for parking with some of the parallel parking along the terrace on the outskirts of the property.
I'm just having a hard time seeing this. So, if it's a fast food restaurant, is it okay that I'm talking?
We probably...
I'll wait.
Yeah, we can...
okay.
Well...
Can you go up and point to the different elements of the plan and explain
sure.
to the public
sure.
what's going on?
Even tell which street it's where.
This little element right here is proposed drive-through window. If the franchisee of a restaurant would like to have a drive-through window, and then here is the additional parking. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe I can get 6 stalls in there at best. And then right along here, I'm going to put I'll call it an impervious fence, board, 6 feet high. And then I think it's, what is it, 15 feet and a half to the way?
20.
This from here to here is the code requirement for landscaping also.
Where's the egress at? You know, the
right there.
And then how will they get out? Will they go?
Yep, they can only come in to access this parking lot on this driveway, and then they'll leave on this one. This is only one-way traffic.
They're coming on Woodrow and they exit by the fire station.
Okay, but
yeah,
you know darn well people will go in the alley behind. You know darn well they will.
Well, you do now.
Right.
But the drive-through may not go. He may just, the extra stalls here may push this to just be a sit-down restaurant also. And Al Moore, who is the owner of this development, would have been here, but he is ill. He texted me this morning and said, you can do it by yourself.
What's his name?
Al Moore.
M-O-O-R-E?
M-O-R-I-N.
Al Moore. Does he own the gas station too?
Oh, yes. He owns all of it.
And the car wash?
Yes.
And the building in between with the stamps and the UPS?
The
does he own that building in between?
That I do not know.
He doesn't.
Pardon?
He does not.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay, thanks.
So right now what we're proposing to do is the asphalt is current asphalt, it's just right here. We're just going to bring it right down and then put this driveway in this new parking surface.
Is there any plans for handicap parking?
There are two presently right here, which state code requires one for every 25 stalls.
Okay.
So I got adequate.
Is it possible to have the drive entrance off of the east-west street rather than Woodrow?
Well, the only concern I have is will the village allow two driveways that close? With one being here, and then if I
put them over here. That's the only reason I didn't do it. Most municipalities have.
Plus, then the cars would be parked with their headlights facing towards the residential property to the south.
Well, they'd be facing a higher improvement.
Right now, yeah, but what he's talking about is if I had a driveway here, they'd have to
park here.
They'd be facing us.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
So the drive-through wouldn't go behind that building?
No. It would start right here. That's why this is so long in theory, from back here to the one's going one way. And get away with only about 16 feet of backup. But if there is a window, I need at least someplace that I can stack them.
So if they would enter on Woodrow Way, and then to the right would be parking, the extra parking.
Yep.
So to get to the restaurant window,
that would have to be added to that building.
Yeah, that's what
you're
going
to add that to that building and stick it out
right. So
that they can drive up to it.
Correct. Correct.
And then go up that existing kind of dark driveway.
Correct.
I was just thinking that when he built that, remodeled that DAV building, he knew what he had in mind. He should have researched way ahead.
Or
I mean, that's the way I look at everything.
Yeah.
Research. Research and then go with it.
So I had a question about the number of parking spaces. If you do this, you will have added a certain number of spaces. How do you know that's enough to meet the requirement
of
the use of the building and the type of restaurant that's being put there? Pardon?
You don't. I'm just going to say, if I was here, he might say something different, but you don't. You just don't. And
could I ask what kind of restaurant it is?
No, I have no idea.
You have no idea.
I don't think he does either. He's trying to market it. For the last couple of years, when he's been trying to market it, they just said.
And so when he built that building, or when he remodeled the building, as I heard from someone in the in the room, he had a plan to do this, but he never thought about parking.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's kind of what we're thinking. It's kind of what we're seeing now is that,
yeah.
You know, we're faced with a decision that maybe doesn't feel real good because someone didn't plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what I'm hearing anyway.
Should we suspend the rules or continue the dialogue?
I'll make a motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to suspend the rules. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we can have a public comment here.
It's so hard.
Yeah. If you'd like, please come up and use the microphone. And
go,
now we,
go ahead.
We've got everything on record.
Okay, well, Karen Thomas, 130 East Gallo Avenue. I want to actually echo what Rick said, because ever since I got that letter, this is what has really been bothering me. He bought that property and built that building that was too big, and I live right around the corner from it. I know it's too big. It's been empty for a couple of years. I thought, what's he going to put in here? But he bought that building. He built it thinking, I'll do something with it someday. And now's the Sunday, and this is a residential neighborhood. We have had to deal with some of the things on Webster. I live on the corner of Alloway and Webster, have been for 22 years, lived in Alloway almost all my life. I guess what really bothers me is, number one, this guy wants us to jump now because he says jump. And it's our houses, our neighborhoods. When you talked about we have to make sure that the lighting is okay, well, let me tell you what the lighting does from the CBS building and from the gas station. I can see that from my bedroom and bathroom window. And light pollution isn't always a good thing. Now we're going to have more lights down here. And then let's talk about traffic. And I don't just mean car traffic. I mean foot traffic. ever since CVS, well, first Osco went in, I've gotten more garbage in my front yard. Candy wrappers, chip bags, things like that. So there's more garbage. There's more traffic, more light pollution there will be. And at night, on a summer night, we all sit outside. You would be surprised how quiet it can be on the corner of Alloway Avenue and Woodrow, a block off Webster, on a summer evening. I don't want to hear, yeah, fries. Yeah, I said fries. No, fries. I don't want to hear that. And you know how sound travels? I'm sorry, but we were here first. My house was built in 1939. And we have been, as I said, we've been in this house for 22 years. My grandfather built the first house on Woodrow. I have deep, deep roots in Alloway. This is my family home. I don't want to move. And I don't want somebody to come in and make my life so miserable that I want to move. And I'm going to be 66. I'm looking at retirement. I don't want to not be able to afford to live where I'm living because my house is so devalued I can't ever sell it. I say, those of us who were here first get to say what goes in there now. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kathy Fusek, 142 Dauphin Street.
In addition to what Karen has already said, just a few other things that I jotted down that are a concern to me. Certainly our property value, the traffic, the additional noise, you know, that, yeah, I'll have a fry and so on. But you have a school just down the street. There are children, and the park. Summer, winter, families with their children are walking down the street, going to the park, the school zone, and there's a lot of traffic, you know, at that time of the day, certainly when the kids are getting out of school and going to school. So that is a concern, these little children. I know there's some talk about putting in sidewalks. That isn't going to make any difference. Okay? There's still going to be children, and we don't need people in a hurry driving into these restaurants. So that's a concern as well. And if he is going to put in 6 parking spaces, and that's enough, and that's not enough, excuse me, now they're going to park on the street. That just adds to the congestion. And whether it's Dauphin Street or Woodrow Way, that's also going to add to the congestion. We have to be able to get in and out of our driveways, and again, aware of children. So, you know, and sometimes, you know, when there are cars parked on Woodrow Way, for example, and people come to that stop sign on the corner of Dauphin and Woodrow, you know, those cars can block their view. Trust me, we've seen accidents and people, you know, not stopping at the stop sign properly. So those are just a few other, you know, concerns that I and my neighbors have. You know, we've lived in our house since 1974. And, you know, these are our homes. Our neighbors are our friends and family. You know, we don't need more business activity in that area. So that's the deal for now.
Thank you.
Also, additional traffic, is that going to have some impact on the fire station?
Yeah, right.
Getting in and out? And you know, those guys and gals got to get where they're going. Instead of having traffic and cars, and I just don't think it's a good idea. And I'm sure no one in here, including Al, would like this in their backyard.
Or front.
Carla Browner, 2209 Woodrow Way. Again, echoing the sentiments of what the gals have said here, having been in ownership of the property for 40 years, that house there, raising my children there, and not only some of the personal issues, but the fire department traffic. I mean, when they have to pull out of there, they have to pull out of there. I can just repeat everything the girl said, but one question I raise here, when he built the BP station in 2012 and put those plans out there, there was nothing notified to property owners that that was going to be in the plan at that time. My understanding is now he has bought the house. The house never went for sale on a, you know, like through a realtor. It was done where he went over to the neighbors and you know, talked to them. And why does he have to have a fast food place? My understanding is we can't stop this house being demolished, correct? Is what you said. And can we stop, does there have to be a parking, can he put this parking lot in there without it being rezoned, is a question that I would like answered.
He can't put six parking spots on a residential property.
Not that many. He could surface a portion of it, but he couldn't surface. There's area requirements with every zoning type, or zoning classification. And I don't know offhand what residential is, but it's like 40% of the lot.
He could make impervious.
Right.
So you could asphalt 40%, let's just say 40% of the lot.
Okay. And I guess, you know, if we can't, if it doesn't matter that we, how we express our opinions on this, that we don't want it, can he still put like an office space in there? And do something. So I guess this whole thing about what I'm hearing here this evening is this fast food restaurant. And that's the part two that, I mean, we have like, you know, you have a little coin shop up there and that's all facing Webster. I think the commercial needs to stay on Webster. It's been there for years. It's not, you know, I know he wants to compete with McDonald's. And because you always see that, McDonald's will draw other fast foods, so I'm thinking it's probably a Hardee's, Taco Bell, or somebody else he's going to go after to come in there. And I just don't, and like I said, especially with the schools there and the children and the public access to get to Webster Park goes, walks right down Woodrow Way. So I'm against it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Todd Old. I'm at 2209 Woodrow Way. A few things reiterating what neighbors have already said. I think one thing is really concerned. I grew up at 2209 Woodrow Way. I went to Webster School. I went to Alloy School. And living there now, when you see 10, 20, 30, 40 kids, little kids, by themselves, walking by your house every day, that's a major concern. I just think that that area should be residential and should stay residential. That just can't be overlooked, I believe. Besides of all the factors that affect us personally, I think that's the major factor to me, at least, in my concern about this. The other thing is, he's already in zone with the park, with the spots that he has. It might be prudent to suggest to Al, you know, he's got that back lot that he has made. And I understand how that is from a business view. And that's probably what he was thinking in the beginning, that that was his parking for that. And the face of the restaurant spot would be towards the fire station, and the parking and the entrance would almost be in the back as well. Obviously that hasn't worked out, but he's in zone now, and this isn't, I don't think he did his due diligence, and And again, like Carla had just mentioned, you know, if this would have been brought up to the neighbors at the time, I'm sure you would have gotten probably the same response. And obviously you can see, representing here, we have almost all of us very concerned about it. So the last thing I wanted to mention was, if this falls like this, where is it going to stop? Yeah. If Al doesn't have enough parking and six isn't enough, what's going to stop him from making an offer on Jen's house and then making an offer for the duplex and then on Beth? And then here sits Karen on the corner of Alloway and Webster. She's lived there for how long? And Rick and I and Kathy looking at what we're looking at Webster. What? The corridor of Webster is downtown Alloway. That's our downtown. We don't need it to be coming into Woodrow and Dauphin and Jourdain and all these other streets. So maybe Al can rethink it. Maybe he can look at something else. But obviously you can see our concerns, so I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Jennifer Vandenlingenberg, 2208 Woodrow. I'm actually the property that is just south of where this is going to be going. And first of all, 6-foot high fence, that's not going to stop anything. I have enough noise pollution as it is from the gas station. I hear the furnace running all night. I hear that noise. And it's just, I bought my first house in Alloway, right there. And the gas station was a deterrent for me when I bought my house because it's my backyard. I don't have a backyard. I look at the back of the gas station. Do I really want to be looking at a parking lot now? Because a 6-foot high fence isn't going to shut it off from anything. I'm still going to see it. I'm still going to hear it. It's right there. And being a first-time homeowner, I like the area. I like the house. I like the neighbors. And to have that is just, it's ridiculous. He has enough space. He needs to think outside the box and figure out something else, because the parking lot right next to my house, when I already have this big gas station in the back, it's not acceptable. I have garbage in my backyard. Things are starting to melt right now, and I have garbage all over my backyard from the gas station. I'm always out there picking stuff up. And it's just, it's a huge deterrent. And if I ever wanted to sell my house in the future or something like that, how am I ever going to sell it when there's a parking lot next door and a gas station in the back? It's just, it's not acceptable to do that, especially in a residential area. Like they've said, by a school, people have lived there forever. I mean, I'm happy where I am. I plan on staying there for quite a while. I mean, I don't have a big 20-year plan, but I like where I am, and I don't need a parking lot next to a gas station that's already there. So that's what I got. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, we all want to talk.
That's fine.
Joan Vandenberg, 149 Dauphin Street. I agree with everything they say, especially, why didn't we get a letter when he was redoing this? We never heard a thing. All of a sudden, everything's going up. We didn't know anything. And I think as a neighborhood, we should know this stuff. And the school, oh my goodness, you can't do that to those children. They don't look for cars. And look for people looking for coffee in the morning, for heaven's sakes. That's ludicrous. That's all I can say. It's just, it's a beltway to Webster Park for the snow, the hills, hockey, you name it.
Tennis.
You've got a gold mine. Don't let it be destroyed. That's all I can say.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm a realtor. I live around the corner from this property over on Oakwood Avenue. I followed the development from day one when they wanted to do the expansion. The property should not be zoned highway commercial because highway commercial is for highways. Woodrow is not a highway. You have a county highway, which is Webster. Alloway Avenue is a county highway. Woodrow is not a county highway. I believe that when the property was redeveloped, it came through as a planned development district, which is my forte. The planned development district did not rezone the commercial as highway, the old Holloway Hardware Store. That was retained as commercial as the underlying zoning. So I don't believe, in fact, that it's currently allowed to be used as a gas station right now as highway commercial. But the plant, it should have been rezoned, the entire parcel should have been rezoned, so the underlying zoning would have been highway commercial for a gas station, but that wasn't done. So my objection is that it is a residential area, and if you rezone it as highway commercial, there's nothing to stop the developer from 5 years from now knocking down the whole thing and putting in a much larger gas station, as long as it complies with the highway commercial zoning. So what you're actually looking to do is expand the planned development district, which isn't proposed here right now, but that's what has to be done. The underlying zoning has to be unified to a single zoning, and there should not be a large gas station going all the way to Woodrow there. The light pollution is a very is a very common complaint here. We have the light pollution complaint with the church on Libel Street. So light pollution is real, noise pollution is real, litter is real, and I think it should be residential. Thanks.
Okay. Do we have a motion to return to regular session?
So moved. Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we're back in regular session. Chair, can you hit the lights? I don't want to... It's kind of hurt my head a little bit with different lighting. So a few things after hearing the crowd, and also driving by that property and using that gas station occasionally. So right now with the B residential district, where this parcel is located in a B residential district, it is proper zoning that it goes B and then it goes A into the other residential districts. That's pretty good zoning. That creates a buffer to the single family homes on Woodrow. In addition to that, we would be encouraging more traffic into the residential A district. And probably the biggest hang up that I have is that the homeowners didn't buy their homes next to a vacant field that was zoned commercial, mm-hmm. and then are at this meeting complaining. They bought their homes next to a residential plot that might be turning commercial, or that's being proposed to turn commercial. So I think that's a big distinction, because when you have a residential district kind of almost surrounding another residential district, you never expect that other residential district to flip commercial. You expect that type of zoning to hold through unless there's a big PDD project. But so that's kind of where I'm at. I understand where the comprehensive plan is in making that area commercial, but the right fit's got to be the right fit. And in this case, I don't like to have restaurant accesses off residential streets that should be off primary streets or county highways like Webster or Alloway Avenue. I think we're just trying to fit a little bit too much into that small space.
Go ahead. Trevor, I have a question. The property owner, Al, did he have any discussions with the village before acquiring that property? Does he have a backup plan, basically, if this doesn't go through, that he has discussed in any way? Since he went ahead and acquired the house already without knowing if he's going to get this approval.
As far as I know, I don't know what his contingency is.
Now, if he doesn't get the approval, is he able to put the drive-through in and not have the parking?
No, so drive-through is only limited to highway business use only.
Okay.
We heard he had a backup plan. We heard that he bought that house, and if he couldn't do anything with it, his mother-in-law, who does the books for him, was going to live there. That's what the guy at the gas station told us.
That's what Bruce told me.
That's what the
owner of that house told me that.
Oh, the owner of the house.
He bought this for
okay.
his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't, she has a hard time driving to work, especially in the winter.
That's what the owner
I didn't find
either
that.
Was told or told us. There was no mention of raising the house and putting in a parking lot.
You should see how many people fly through that
stop sign.
My wife went down personally and chewed one guy's butt. I mean, he just chewed right through there. Kids around everything.
There's enough traffic and, you know, we don't need any more.
The fire trucks, you know, and they're good neighbors.
Yeah, they are.
They're great neighbors.
They're great neighbors.
I have another question for you, Trevor. So if it were to become highway business use and there's a parking lot there, what are the lighting requirements that the owner would have to meet?
Half a foot candle, I can't trespass off the property.
Are there minimum requirements? Does he have to light the lot? Could we say something about not lighting the lot or something? It's not a PDD, so we don't have that kind of control.
Yeah, I think if we allow the zoning to a particular use, the requirements and the allowances are already in the zoning code, so we can't really change the zoning code by making a stipulation like that. Are there limitations on when a drive-through can be placed? And what are there? Aren't there requirements for how much stack room is available for a drive-through based on the area? We don't have anything like that?
No.
Okay. Because if he would get a Starbucks going in here, they'd have traffic, you know, out the driveway, down the street, waiting on Alloway Drive to get in, and at the same time, children are trying to walk to school. So that's a major safety hazard that we'd have to find a way of preventing.
So. That's one of the issues that I had was, suppose his restaurant really takes off, and a lot of heaven forbid, but you know, suppose people want to go there, and I know I've seen, you know, fast food restaurants in this kind of a situation before, and when the parking lot's full, people park on the street,
yes.
And then you just exacerbate the problem of, you know, blocking your driveways and putting more people at risk. So, and I think Mr. O'Rourke made a valid point. Woodrow is not a highway.
Right.
So why would, you know, and why would we put a parking lot in a residential neighborhood? Why would we change it? Because someone didn't have the forethought to plan ahead for how he wants to run his business. And our decision shouldn't be for the purpose of helping somebody succeed in spite of themselves. And I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just saying that. We've all thought that or said it in different ways,
yeah.
But we can't change the rules because someone doesn't like them or didn't understand them. So I'm not in favor of putting a parking lot at an intersection that has three homes on the other three of the four corners, plus all the way down the block, and for all the reasons that you folks have stated.
No, and there are other neighbors in this area, too, that are opposed to this. They just could not make it tonight, whether they're working or, you know, childcare, that kind of thing. But it isn't just us. There are other neighbors that are completely opposed to this as well. So.
Yeah, and one of the other issues, too, is, you know, if this were to get approved, and let's say we did run into a situation where, God forbid, the restaurant's successful.
If she wants it.
There wouldn't be any remedy. So if we did run into a real big problem, there's no fix because the property is so contained. Mm-hmm. So we'd have a problem that we wouldn't be able to fix.
I think that since our job as a plan commission is to uphold the comprehensive plan and to really
determine the intent for development as it moves forward. As you said earlier, just the way that the zoning is staged now, where we have kind of a transitional area before we get to our A residential, these types of things that we, although I know Trevor in your memo said that we don't have a particular plan for this particular lot, but I think that I don't think we would want to change that to eliminate that buffer. And for me, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I would be hesitant to approve this kind of a zoning change, in addition to the safety and the concerns of the neighbors and all of the other issues. But as a primary role to be, we're the ones that are supposed to be putting forethought into the way that development happens in the village, and I just don't think that aligns appropriately with what we would intend for development to look like in this area. So I don't know if we're done with the discussion, but I would be ready to make a motion on this item.
Sure. Yeah. Unless there's other comments or anybody has anything else to say. So I guess we can provide a motion to deny. I'm fine with that. If it carries the same weight if we make a motion to approve, then I'll signify by saying nay. So if you want to make a motion to deny.
Well, I just think as part of the motion, we should stipulate that we're recommending denial because we see potential degradation of safety, increase of traffic, reduction of quality of life.
Yeah,
issues.
So safety.
I think denial, a motion to deny, for me personally, has a stronger message than
sure.
The inability to approve.
Right. Okay.
Or, to not approve something isn't as strong, as forceful as.
You want to send a message?
Yes. Well, that's what we're here for.
All your life. And then I also wanted to add, too,
that's
if
what we're here for.
For our motion, it's also that right now the way that district is zoned, I believe, is good zoning, having the buffer.
There is a buffer.
Between. Yeah. So, can add that to the.
Excuse me. Now that he owns the property, though, he did say he could still kick that house down, mm-hmm. and he could still put in blacktop.
He can make
so
a surface.
Much.
Yep.
So on a certain percentage, he feels like he's going to change it anyways to a point.
Well, it's a residential property. He can't use it for commercial use.
Right.
But he can still blacktop it, though.
Yeah.
We don't. That's not something we have control over, regardless
right.
of
right.
who owns it.
Yeah.
You could do that to your property.
You said he could do 40% of it, blacktop it, and then still put a restaurant in there.
We're actually not. We're still in regular rules, so
yeah.
I just think
yeah.
we're not really allowed to take
yeah,
comments.
We can't. So, and I just to make it clear that we're making a recommendation to the village board for the next meeting. So they're going to be the board is actually going to make the final determination. They take our recommendation and make the determination. So this isn't done yet, I guess, to say. When is the next board meeting, too, Trevor?
When will this come before
yeah,
the board?
Yeah, when will this come before the board?
Great. It would likely be the first meeting in March.
Okay.
Because we have the second meeting in February canceled and they need the 15-day notice, so.
Okay. So
how will we know?
The property owners within 200 feet that were notified of this meeting will be notified again.
Okay.
But just for point of clarification, if you don't mind, I'll just give the date real quick.
Sure.
March 7th at 6:30. That is a month. Correct. 7th.
March 7th.
Tuesday, March 7th at 6:30. That is unless the petitioner always has the option of withdrawal of the petition. So.
Okay. Is there a motion tonight, given the stipulations that we discussed, including safety, traffic, quality of life, and current zoning is correct?
So moved.
Second.
Oh, I'm going to make a motion to deny the approval based on, or deny the zoning change based on those factors that we discussed tonight.
One second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, the motion to deny has passed this board, so that's the recommendation that will go to the village board, is to deny.
Well, thank you very much for listening to us.
Thank you. Come more often.
Don't forget to come to the village board meeting.
Us, so.
Yes, attend the board meeting if you can.
Don't forget to come to the village board meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, it will be there. Thank you very much.
Moving on to item number 7, action regarding review and recommendation of new chapter 460, comma, land division. Did everybody get a chance to see the link that Trevor sent out? You know, we discussed these probably over the last 12 months, maybe. It's been, we've kind of been looking at the different contextual corrections, however you want to describe them. Scrivener's errors omitted and all that, so...
This is pretty much just
formality. Yeah, I thought they looked good. I didn't see anything that jumped out at me that needed to be changed unless anybody else did.
No. Just I have a couple of questions on 460 and 468. With the new chapter 460, this is... this is ordinance language we've had for some time, correct?
For chapter 460?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And what I saw in that is that there is no provision for the plan commission to be involved in land division. It seems to indicate that only the village board would review land division actions.
Right. That's kind of thing. I mean, it comes to the board for information, or the planning commission for information. And actually, the board, for under four parcels, I believe it is, really has no input except, okay, thanks.
Okay. And then on 468, it appears that the plan commission's responsibility is to hold public hearings with respect to zoning and boundary changes for the shoreland wetland areas, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there's no further comments, I'll entertain a motion to approve review and recommendation of new Chapter 460 Land Division.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. That was approved. Moving on to item number 8, action regarding review and recommendation of new Chapter 468 Shoreland Wetland Zoning. Any comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we recommend adoption of new section, new Chapter 468 to the village board.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Item number 9, action regarding review and recommendation of new Chapter 475 Zoning Code. If there are any comments, please state them. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to recommend adoption.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. It's got to feel good to have that project almost done, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine. Item number 10, approval of Village of Alloway Comprehensive Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan 2016, another big project that's come to almost completion, huh?
Right.
It looks really good, by the way. The committee did a really nice job.
It's a lot of work,
yeah,
to do this.
So
over a long period of time,
is this the final plan? It's already.
So we did have a open house on Thursday evening, and right now we are through a period of public comment. And from the open house, there were a few concerned residents, but for the most part, I think everyone really thought the plan was well thought out. the comments I've received via email echo the same sentiment. I think the only thing is maybe clarifying in some spots the point better. For example, there's 40% of non-Albany residents that took the survey. Just clarifying in the text who those 40% were, and that's because we advertised the survey to businesses in that village as well, so they represented maybe not people that lived in the village but worked in the village. So small things like that. I don't know, Roger, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Well, I just I think the document does need some minor editing. You know, I sent you a draft of revisions for the executive summary that I think should be incorporated and to clarify it a little more. I think if we recommend approval of the plan, it should be subject to final editing and to incorporation of public comments received from the open house. So.
Right. The comments received today are none of which would change the plan.
Okay.
How you see it today.
But they would simply be added in appendix?
Right. And there are, like Roger said, there are some grammatical things, and then, like the maps that you're reading over, that sort of thing. But nothing that's going to alter the spirit of the plan. Or,
you're actually on the bike pet committee.
I'm the citizen chairperson of bike.
Yeah, why don't you step up to the microphone and state your name and address, and you're kind of our consultant on this.
Yeah,
item.
That's why I came to the Rebecca Nyberg at 214 Simonette Street. The one thing I did, just because I don't have in front of me, is when Jim was talking about the area on St. Joseph, is there a sidewalk recommended as part of on St. Joseph down past the apartments? I mean, that's part of the plan?
Yes.
And recommendations to put them in when the street is rebuilt? Or
yes,
to put them in as part of the development that's going on right now? I just don't remember.
Right. I don't know if it clearly or specifically mentions that street, but it says with the overall plan that it is for all sidewalks to be implemented at the time of
So there are in the plans for sidewalks on St. Joseph and on Riverside Drive on the two sides of that property that's coming, that apartment coming.
Right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because a little bit sounded like, like Jim, that there weren't any plans for any sidewalks there, and I just wanted to make sure that there are. If that was my impression that they were being put in there, and I just wanted to make sure they were.
Yeah. I've been thinking about St. Joseph's, and since it's been discussed that some parts of it are going to be rebuilt and over periods of time, and I really think that street is important enough in the village and has enough variations in it that it really warrants a kind of a public process to look at the whole street and how it fits into the context of Alloway and what it does for Alloway and how it serves the different properties. I think it would be a big mistake to just do a piecemeal re-engineering of segments of it over time, but we should have a more thorough examination of what sort of design criteria should occur for that street.
Yeah, I know that next year with the Safe Routes to School project, there'll be a sidewalk going on this north, the south side of St. Joseph Street between Webster and Libel Street. I know that that's part of that Safe Routes to School project.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest, the later part of the St. Joseph Street, they're already talking to the residents that they're going to put a sidewalk in, at least on the side where the condos are, down to where the detention pond is. Detention pond? I know
right.
Detention?
It's a pond.
And so those two are going in, but like you said, we really, maybe that could be, there's a section that's got the, you know, these areas need further study, but that could be put in there, you know, to look at the cohesiveness of St. Joseph Street and how we, you know, as a one entity and how we can best implement them along there. Because there were a couple of other streets that were in, that were added at the end with location.
Sure. That street certainly is popular. I mean, if we did like a Google AdWords on what we've talked about over the past couple of years, we've talked about St. Joseph Street almost every time we've had a meeting. And kind of the same conclusion, there needs to be better pedestrian access or facilities on St. Joseph. So, yeah, I think that that's probably that prudent to be looked at as it's as a special project.
And another thing, just shifting gears a little bit, I haven't read the plan truly thoroughly yet, and I need to look for this information, but I have a concern that there is not enough in the plan about providing transportation access points to the Fox River Trail. Doing the plowing on the Fox River Trail is fairly recent, and I was actually surprised. For years now, I've asked this question on a number of occasions, but the access to the Fox River Trail that occurs on Riverside Drive at the end of Alloway Avenue, well, always thought that that was a public way to get down to the trail. And I do recall that the documents that the DOT showed for the reconstruction of the Fox River Trail indicated a significant portion of the parking lot that borders on the Fox River Trail in that commercial area is actually state-owned land. In fact, the development there has their dumpsters parked on state-owned land, according to the maps from the DOT. So, you know, that's probably something we should really move up in on priorities, is making sure that people can actually get to the Fox River Trail if we expect them to use it instead of Riverside Drive as a transportation thoroughfare. So,
At the open house, there was someone who lived off of Taft Street who stopped and talked to me and said that the big, big, huge office building that's down there now has big signs up that says no, you know, no trespassing, don't come through, you know. And they asked if they could do that because they said that's the way that people in that whole neighborhood get down to the trail. And she asked if they could tell them if they're on their bike, can they like stop them and tell them that they can't come through there. And I told her to contact somebody from the village to talk to them about, you know, what. And I also told her to go and talk to the people at the talk to the owner of the building and find out who owns it and talk to them too about the issues that the neighbors have, because they said if that access is cut off, they don't have any safe way from their neighborhood because the Fox River Trail and a lot of people down there do use it because they're so close. We need to be looking at all those.
Okay.
Do any of you have any other questions? Just if you have any information that we can give you on what we were doing. Roger's on the committee too, so if you have that information.
Looks pretty consistent as to what we spoke about. To that point, maybe there should be something added in the plan about the acquisition of easements to allow for connections to the Fox River Trail. We don't have to be real specific, but maybe that's something that we don't want to discourage, or we want to encourage, is our aggressive pursuit of easements to connect to the trail.
That would be something that we could take on as a project.
Right. You know, that's I think that's important. Just so we can point to the plan when somebody says, why are you asking for an easement?
Yeah, because in 2004, when I first started with Alway Walks and Bikes, that was the first thing we did as to why we wanted to have, you know, why were we talking about pedestrian access in Alway? And we had, we got together a group of, what, 25 people at the Mariner and had lunch, and then we sent people out in groups and said, try to cross the road. And they all came back and went, holy smokes, you know, and it's like, well, that's why we're here. And the planning department at that time, Cole Rumby, about 2005 or 2006, did an actual planning document on, you know, ways to, areas where we could put crossings. And there's five known crossings. The railroad trestle, if it's ever abandoned, is like kind of highlighted that that's kind of a priority if the railroad ceases to use it. And then you had four other places along there to get access. So, I think I have it in my drawer, or else it's available through the planning department. Can you get that?
Trevor can get his hands on that.
It's, well, it's an older document. I mean, it's from, yeah. It's, I can't believe 2006 was 10 years ago, but that's 10 years ago.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Nice job. Thank you. Unless there's any more comments from the Plan Commission, I know, Roger, you had mentioned that we would go through some more grammatical editing. If we could add some, I guess, language about we will be pursuing easements where we can for connection to the Fox River Trail, I think we can make that clear. But I didn't really see anything else that would dissuade me from entertaining a motion to approve. Do you want to say something?
Move to open the floor.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, former chair for a while of the bike ped committee that did this plan. And I was on the Alway Walks committee for a number of years. And I think that the plan in general is good. There's some things that are missing, and that there should be an appendix. I don't want to start messing with the report itself, but there should be an appendix. Number one, the top thing that residents in Alway want to know is, where are the sidewalks planned? What side of the street are they on? What general year are they going to be put in? That information is known. The Public Works Department knows it, and there should be a table of streets and the side of the street and the year that it's going to be put in. I can do that. There should be a budget in there. Typically, Public Works said that it costs anywhere from $6 to $9 per square foot for sidewalk. And people should know how much the sidewalk in the different locations are projected to be, even if they're not 100% accurate. If you use a number of $8 a square foot, that'll at least get you close. There should be, somebody should take a look at the complete streets component of it. Governor Walker removed complete streets from the legislation, the state regulations, so we're no longer bound by complete streets, but I thought complete streets is an excellent idea. We should be connecting neighborhoods, and if we don't have sidewalks, we should have trails. There's a number of cul-de-sacs that were not completed, classic complete streets. That would be along the East River on Floral and Dauphin and West St. Joseph. There is an unused street right-of-way in there that is currently being sold off piecemeal. If the village doesn't want to use it for a parkway, I'd be willing to raise funds to have a private sector buy those lots and put something in if the village doesn't want to do it. But the village should not start vacating the street right-of-way that was never completed and turned into cul-de-sacs. And that's a classic complete streets site that you're looking at. So one of those parcels is going to be sold in the immediate future. and the village has said that they're willing to give the land away as long as you pay closing costs. So I'll take the land. Thanks.
Motion to return to regular session.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we're back in regular session. I agree with the comments about having costs associated with that, but I believe that should probably be part of the five-year capital improvement plan or whatever the Public Works Department is putting together that goes into the actual village budget. And I don't know if you appendices the capital improvement, the SIP plan to the budget itself when it's being passed, but...
You're talking about having the budget as an appendix?
Well, having the costs for the reconstruction of the street along with the sidewalk project within the budget rather than putting costs inside of the bike ped plan because they can get stale.
Yeah, you know, that kind of information goes beyond what the plan is intended to
right,
do.
Right.
But maybe a timetable that says here's when we plan.
Yeah.
Here's when the plan calls for this site because that's what the comment was. That
well, if it goes
maybe
in here,
people don't know when it's
yeah.
going to happen.
But the plan stipulates, as I understand it, that when a street is reconstructed, the elements shown in the plan that are to accommodate pedestrians and bicycles are to be designed and implemented at the time the street is reconstructed. So the street improvement plan really is the governing schedule for development of the
right.
bicycle ped plan. So, and if we wanted something moved ahead, we would have to identify that and you know, take it on as a planning exercise and document it and recommend it to village board for action.
Typically right or wrong, sidewalks follow roads. So it's based on the road construction schedule mostly. Okay. Great. Any other comments? Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
I would propose amending it to say that pending correction of, you know,
grammatical
errors and incorporation of public comments that we would recommend approval of the plan moving ahead to the final stages. The final stage.
Would you like to amend your motion to include all of those things previously
sure.
mentioned?
Yes, that sounds good.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it moves forward. Item number 11, next meeting date and agenda items. So, will the next meeting date be February 20th?
You missed any report.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Got another item here.
Yep, I'm sorry. Skip ahead. Next thing we have this crossed off. Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Item number 11, discussion of 2016 Alloway Plan Commission Annual Report.
One comment is the last paragraph. I think it should be 2016 and 20 instead of 2015.
Yeah, this is the second year in a row, Trevor. We can catch you on that.
I just threw things in here to start the discussion. Obviously, you might want a full committee here before you approve the report. So
probably be better to do that, yeah. Just one thing that I'd like to update. I don't see it in here. I remember asking for it a couple of years ago. I don't know if you ever did, but just I call it the scoreboard, but what's been recommended to the village board and what's been approved.
Okay.
See
if,
far recommendations are.
Well, the like under item B, actions.
Where are
you? Oh, okay, I got you. Page 3 and 4,
yep.
Those have recommendations and then the board's response.
Okay. I suppose it could work too. Would be nice to summarize it in the beginning. 10 recommendations, 10 village board approvals.
10 for 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just give us a score.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but so the sign ordinance that we went over for months, that went through and that got approved by the village board.
Right.
I think that's a bigger accomplishment than just being a bullet point. And I think that's a big deal because that changed a lot. And people are allowed now to submit variance requests to the sign ordinance now. So I think that's
seems
good.
Seems like we spent quite a bit of time on it,
yeah.
Too. Different options. And I know Trevor provided us with a lot of different.
And I'm not saying the business community reads our annual report, but that shows that that's a step in the right direction when you're talking about being friendly to your businesses. Mm-hmm. So whether it's, highlighting it to the village board that, hey, 2016 was a good year because we did this for our businesses, and something to think about.
Where would you like that one?
The scoreboard thing you're talking
about? The scoreboard can be kind of an example.
Maybe it's just an issue of kind of moving the action, 1B up in some way so it has more prominence, or somewhere in the introduction identifying significant steps forward.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I was looking through the list over the weekend. There's a couple of things, a couple of big accomplishments, or I don't know whatever you call them here, but so the sign ordinance, and then getting pushing enough on the zoning code update to get a line item in the budget was another one, another big step forward. So those are good policy shifts, I think, that came out of this committee, and maybe could get special mention in the introduction or something.
Under plan commission members, I think we should indicate the dates that the members' terms end.
Yeah. So.
No, it's just when. The only thing on here right now is when we were appointed.
No, on the back page.
Yeah, I got that. Because a lot of us are up in April.
Yeah, so that was something I was going to point out. Maybe we'll be reaching out to you.
Oh, okay. So
March.
That's. That's what those dates are. We're floating out there.
Yeah.
So just
I can try and figure out how to make that clear.
I think just having it in parentheses with a term expires.
Does it look like we're all expiring in April?
I know, I was looking at that, yeah. Quite a bit.
It might be something we want to ask the board about, whether we should see if there's a way of
staggering somehow.
Yeah.
I think it's a product of midterm departures and then the position being filled. But there may have been.
But normally
a
midterm departure and someone coming into that term would only fill out the term.
And I don't know if that happened. That might have. I have a suspicion that what happened was when people were elected or appointed, I guess, to regular membership, that it started. at the beginning of the three-year term instead of maybe completing a term they should have completed.
Yeah, that's possible.
Well, Penny's is annual.
Hers is annual?
Yeah, because she's a board member.
That makes sense. Always makes sense.
But there are a lot of six.
There are four out of six, not counting her, that expire this year. It seems like if there's... Are they a three-year term or two-year term? Three-year, right?
I'm on a two-year.
You're a two-year? Are they two-year?
They're supposed... They're... Once you're in, you're supposed to be on a three-year rotation, but it's when the commission was initiated and they first appointed people, they appointed some to one-year terms, some to two-year terms, and some to three-year terms. And that's so one-third would renew every year. So we should see if there's a way of getting back to one-third of the membership having their terms expire, you know, on an annual basis. So.
Well, Mr. Rafter has the opportunity to clean house if he doesn't like what he's seeing. I think you captured everything from what we've done. I don't know if you saw anything that he missed.
I'd have to read through it. I didn't. I have to admit I didn't read through it.
Maybe we should. Can we continue it to the next week? Is there we don't need a motion. It's just a discussion. Right. Yeah, let's just move it to the next meeting so everybody else has a chance to look at it.
Trevor, do you know if there's a list of people who are interested in serving on the commission?
We get inquiries every once in a while, but no, there's no running list.
You're stuck.
Nobody can leave.
Nobody can leave.
I mean, we do have two alternates.
All right. Moving on to number 12, next meeting date and agenda items. I'll repeat what I said before. I think it was February 20th or something, probably?
27th.
Oh, really? It is. Okay.
27th
is a Monday? Okay. And for agenda items, we'll have discussion of the Plan Commission annual report.
I'd like to know if we can have a more thorough discussion of the one item I brought up on the bike ped plan, where we talk about developing access, legal public access points to the Fox River Trail that don't now exist.
Yeah, that's important. Is there a way, Trevor, that you, I saw in the annual report too, you're talking about possibly trying to put together a map of village owned properties and that kind of thing. Is there an easy way for you to see if there are already existing government-owned easements crossing, I guess it would be east and west, to the Fox River Trail?
I mean, I can tell you right offhand. I mean, they're not easements or anything. We don't have any like that.
So providing a map to us for the next meeting would be useful?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good one. I think that's really important.
I do too, otherwise it'll end the way it ended today, where people said, well, they told us we couldn't cross.
Right.
And so nobody does anything.
And I think it's Heather, who's the alternate on the commission here. She had mentioned that in her neighborhood a lot of people try to cross by her neighbor or something, and they're always out there yelling at
them. Yeah, Briar.
Yeah, I'm Briar. Yeah. Yep. So.
It kind of goes a long way. I think they didn't bring it back this time. The official map discussion.
Sure. Yeah, that would be a good agenda item, though. Maybe some recommendations of some points and who the property owners are, maybe, or.
Jim does bring up some interesting issues on occasion, and personally, as a member of, you know, on a plan commission, thinking about what we're supposed to do, I would be very concerned about village board selling off public property without first running it by the plan commission and by planning staff to ensure that it's an issue that's been being addressed publicly. So I don't know that they really have that right as an organization.
Right. Any vacation, I believe, has to come to planning commission. The piece of property there's referencing is like a small 20-foot strip off of, I don't know the exact dimensions, but it's a small strip off of Laurel. But it's okay. Not, there's still the continuity there of the North Park Way or whatever you refer to it as.
Yeah.
All right. So, actually, the thing that was of concern to me was that unpaved section of LeBron behind the houses is another issue we really should come to a resolution and recommendation for.
Yes, our public works director, we have one.
Well, yeah, we do, but. I think it should be established what that piece of land is used for. Because people do use it regardless of what neighbors want or don't want. And so
that's all I think is still the official map kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All part of that. I don't know if we want to go piece by piece or if you're going to have a large public input. I think if we almost did a public input thing, we'd need maybe additional staff or maybe that can be something with the zoning program.
Well, again, it's a discussion of how we should approach it. Mm-hmm. What's the right way to approach this kind of gap in having the community completed in that sense. So.
Okay. All right. Item number 13, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned.
Nobody ever opposes.
No.
Oh, yeah, you propose, are you presenting?
Yeah.
Well,
never any discussion.
Nope. I don't have to present.
Pretty easy one?
There are, according to Robert's rules, I think some motions.
They probably have a lot.